Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
Oh, my hope is in Jesus. Woo! Thank God my yesterday's gone. All my sins are forgiven. Hallelujah! Woo! Jared, Sarah, thank you. Laura, fantastic. I can't sing, but I tell you what, I can sing to the one who created me. And I'm so grateful for what God has done in my life. I'm the least deserving person. I don't deserve God's goodness. But God, out of His great grace, has touched my life. And He's extended my life. And I shouldn't be here today, but I am by God's grace. Amen, Jimmy? I'm just so thankful to see what God's doing in and through us. We're finishing up Joshua this morning, and what a book. I was telling Billy, whatever book it is I'm studying, that becomes my favorite book of the Bible, you know? And I feel that way about Joshua, and so we're in Joshua 23 and 24 today, and I'm just going to read a couple of verses out of Joshua 24, and then we're going to come back and see what the Lord... And by the way, I needed to just share all of... I can't say everything I want to say or need to say every Sunday, but y'all need to know, Barbara Nelson has just finished her last radiation treatment. And does she look like a woman who's been even close to radiation? Hallelujah. All our hope is in Jesus. Hallelujah. All right, if you have found Joshua 24, verses 14 and 15, that's what I want to read, start off with this morning. If you would stand, if you can. If you can't, honor God's word in your seat. Joshua 24, verse 14. Now therefore, fear the Lord. Somebody shout amen. Serve Him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Father God, thank you that we can trust you. You have placed your spirit within us, and so we're able to serve you. And God, this morning, I would ask that you would speak to every single one of us in that still small voice that has been so patient with each one of us. And give us the courage to surrender to whatever it is you're calling us to do. I ask it in the name that's above every other name. I ask it in the name of who all of our hope is in Jesus. Amen. Please be seated. Boy, I just want to go to singing again, you know? You get a song on your heart and you just can't let go of it. Anybody else like that? back several years ago, I remember as I was studying for this sermon this morning, I remember a commercial. Michael Jordan was going to the dressing room. And there was a voiceover. It was his voice. And Michael was talking about all the times that he had failed. And he was talking about all the shots that he had missed. and all the games that he had lost in his career. And he even brought up the fact all the times that his team was counting on him for victory, and he took the last shot and missed. And he said, "I've failed over and over again, but it is through my failures that I have learned how to succeed." All we've ever seen of Michael is of him hitting the winning shot or making the steal or grabbing the rebound to ensure victory, right? We've never seen all the hours and hours and hours of practice that he put in the gym by himself, of those thousands of shots that he'd practiced in the gym, of all the weights that he'd lifted, of all it took to stay in great shape. I want to tell you, the reason Michael Jordan was such a success was because he was sold out, surrendered, and committed to becoming the best that he could be. And that's why his team could count on him. The nation of Israel is standing before Joshua today in our text. And really, that's what the book of Joshua is about. It's about commitment and how to live in victory. And as a matter of fact, the book opens with God telling Joshua, "You don't have to be afraid. Just be strong and courageous. Be not afraid. Be not dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." And then when you get over to Joshua chapter 24, I mean, Joshua is asking for the same commitment that he'd given to the Lord years before out of the nation of Israel. And he's asking for their commitment, and they are standing on the threshold of greatness. And so Joshua is calling on their commitment. In other words, he's pleading with them and asking them, "Can God count on you?" And you know, I don't know how God's going to do it, but I'm here today to tell y'all, God's about to do something in this county and in this city that's going to blow everybody away. I believe that with all of my heart. I mean, I see God at work in our city and our county. Y'all remember the Jesus rally? 23 churches came together that week. 23 churches. And have mercy, a lot of them were not even Baptist. And we saw God move during those days. And as Jared was talking about, there's 15 or 16 churches that are gathering together on 9/11 up at the downtown commons. I hope all of y'all will be there that Wednesday night from 6 to 8. But unity is a sign that God is at work and He's wanting to do something. I believe God's going to shake this county. He's going to shake this city. And I believe Clarksville is coming to Jesus. We're going to see a revival. That was a half-hearted amen. I believe Clarksville's going to come to Christ. Amen. We're going to see that happen. We're going to see that happen. We've got to see that happen. And look at what God's done through this church. This is Second Mile Church. Hello. Y'all are second milers. Y'all are going the extra mile, the second mile, to get people to Jesus. That's who we are. We're not about a bunch of folks who are sitting and souring in a seat. We're about doing whatever we got to do to get people to Jesus. Second Mile Church. And so, and hadn't God been good to us the last 17 months? Hadn't He? Man. I mean, we've seen over 60 professions of faith. We baptized, I think, over 43 or 44 of those folks. I mean, you all have given close to $80,000 to the cooperative program of the Southern Baptist Convention. And that goes to start churches and to revitalize churches. It goes to do a lot of great ministry. And you've given greatly to a lot of the local ministries in our church. And the children's ministry is flourishing. We've got over 30-something kids back here. Middle school is coming along. Tad and Pam, are now, the Ketches have now started a high school Sunday school class. Billy Walker's class has over 100 folks every Sunday morning in it. I mean, and God is doing some great things in and through this church, but we just touched the hem of the garment. And what God is asking us to do is going to take a great work. And I, for one, I've come here today to tell you, you're up for it, and so am I. Because we have the Spirit of Almighty God within us. We can do great and mighty and awesome things through Christ who strengthens us. And so, I've come here today to ask you a question. It's the same question Joshua was asking the Israelites. Can God count on you? Now, I've got one finger pointing this way, and how many are pointing back this way? That's right. Can God count on you? And there's three movements in this text, probably more, but just three I want us to focus on. And the first thing, if God's going to be able to count on us, we've got to understand who God is. Who is God to you? Who is God to you? Now, this was an emotional day for the Israelites. I mean, Joshua, the great general, their great leader, he's about to step off the pages of leadership. He's about to die, and he knows it. He's fixing to head out, go home. And so, this is his farewell speech to the nation of Israel. And I want you to look at Joshua 24 and verse 19. Now, Joshua has asked them, are you going to stay with the stuff? Are you going to serve God and Him alone? And three times they have responded, yes, we're going to serve the Lord. Yes, we're going to love God. Three times. And then in verse 19, Joshua says to the people, you cannot serve the Lord, for He is a holy God. He is a jealous God. Now, if I ask you today to just fill out a survey, who is God to you? Most of y'all would say, well, God is a God of love. Right? And God is love. Right? And most of you, some of you would probably say, well, He is a God who's full of grace and mercy. I'm exhibit A on that. All right? He is a God of grace and mercy. But there is another side to God that we have forgotten about. He is holy. Our thrice holy God is totally and unbelievably holy and righteous. And guess what? He expects His people to be holy. Where'd you get that? Out of the Bible. Listen to this. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15 says, but as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. God is holy and righteous, and He expects us to be holy. Somebody say amen. Amen. He expects us to be holy. Why? Because He's holy. And we're His children. And the children ought to reflect the Father. Right? But He's not only holy, the Bible says He's a jealous God. Now, we really don't have a good English word for this word. Probably a better word is zealous. But there is a righteous jealousy, and that's God. What do the first two commandments tell us? Okay. Yeah. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make any graven image. First two commandments have to do with idolatry. God desires that we would be totally, exclusively devoted to Him. Well, you don't hear that very often today. And God, it is the desire of our Heavenly Father that we would give Him our undivided loyalty. And that loyalty and that love and that devotion is spelled out in obedience and service. And I'll talk more about that. But you know, here's the bottom line for me and for you. If there is anything in my life that I'm more focused on than Jesus, that's an idol in my life. If there's anyone in my life that's more precious to me than the Lord Jesus, then that person is an idol in my... The two sins that got Israel in trouble more than any others were the sins of idolatry and immorality. God is holy, and God is a jealous God. You know what amazes me? That God would want any of us. Hello? I mean, y'all think you know me, but you really don't know me. It blows me away that God wants any of our devotion. But He does. He wants all of us. And you see, if God is going to be able to count on us, we need to have a better understanding of just who He is. He is holy and He is a jealous God. All right, second thing here. If God's going to be able to count on us, we not only need to know who He is, but we need to understand what He's done for us. What has God done for you? I'm glad you asked. Look what He's done for the Israelites. Look at verse 1 in chapter 23. Now it came to pass a long time after the Lord had given rest to Israel from all their enemies, round about that Joshua was old, advanced in age. And Joshua called for all Israel, for their elders, for their heads, for their judges, for their officers, and said to them, I am old, advanced in age. You have seen all that the Lord your God has done to all these nations because of you. For the Lord your God is He who has fought for you. See, I've divided to you by lot these nations that remain to be an inheritance for your tribes from the Jordan, with all the nations that I've cut off as far as the great sea westward. And the Lord your God will expel them from before you and drive them out of your sight, so you shall possess their land as the Lord your God promised you. And so Joshua begins to remind the Israelites of just all that God has done for them, and that He was going to continue to fight their battles and continue to give them victory. And he says, look what God's done for you. For 400 years, the Israelites had been in a land of slavery. They had served as slaves to the Egyptian Pharaoh and the Egyptians for 400 years. And God had sent the great deliverer Moses to deliver the children of Israel from Egypt. And God led them out with a mighty strong hand. Oh, listen to me. God brought them to the Red Sea. The Egyptians were in hot pursuit. God miraculously parted the waters. Israel crossed over on the dry ground, and God drowned all the enemies of God in the Red Sea. And then He led them to the Mount Sinai, and there He gave them the Ten Commandments and the law. And then several weeks later, they wind up at the edge of the Promised Land, and the spies all go in and come back, and the majority of the spies said, no way we can take the land. They've got giants, they've got too many obstacles, too many problems for us. And so for the next 40 years, the Israelites wandered around in the wilderness until all of that generation had died because of the sin of unbelief. But God wasn't finished with them, was He? Because He raised up Joshua after Moses left the scene, and they miraculously crossed the Jordan River. And y'all all remember the story about how the walls came tumbling down in Jericho. And then they suffered that demoralizing defeat at Ai. And then God gave them victory over the Amorite kings and the Canaanite kings and the Jebusite kings and the Hittites and the Girgashites and all the otherites in the land. And God had been good. And here's Israel about to take the entire land that God had given them. And the only reason Israel's in the Promised Land is because God put them there, and He'd been so good. I would imagine there's a few folks here today, and you got a piece of the Promised Land. Hello? I mean, have your sins been forgiven? The blood of Jesus. Jesus took my place and paid the price for my punishment. And now I don't have to pay the price for my sin, because Jesus paid the price. Hallelujah. And then, as if that wasn't enough, He was buried so my sins could be put away. And then He was raised from the grave, and He's alive forevermore. And because Jesus got up from the dead, we can too. Amen. Look what God has done for us, brothers and sisters. Hallelujah. That's why all of our hope is in Jesus. And I'm looking at this crew over here, and bless God, y'all have all got clothes on. Hallelujah. Now, I don't know if y'all shop at the Goodwill or y'all go to Macy's. I don't know. But you've all got clothes. And I'm looking over here at this crowd, and it looks like y'all had some rest last night. Y'all got a house. You got a roof over your head. Some of you have got several houses. We've got bank accounts. Let me look at this crowd right here. We've all got some income. Right? I mean, we've got family. And y'all can go. Y'all decided to just come on down here to Second Mile Church for worship today. You can work anywhere you want to, worship anywhere you want to. You've got a family that, Carolyn, you've got a family of God that loves you. And we are praying for you. Look around, folks. This is the goodness of God. God has been so good. And He's asking us today, can I count on you? Can I count on you? And so in order for God to count on us, we've got to have an understanding of who He is. And then what He's done for us. Have mercy. Which leads me to say, I've said all of that to say this. What does God expect from us? What does God want? What does He expect out of you and me? Here it is. This is why you came today. Y'all ready for this? Yeah, I'm ready. Wake up. Here's what God wants to say to us. Look at verse 6 in chapter 23. Therefore, be very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, lest you turn aside from it to the right hand or to the left, and lest you go among these nations. These who remain among you, you shall not mention of the name of their gods, nor cause anyone to swear by them. You shall not serve them, nor bow down to them. And brothers and sisters, we still got idols today. Same deal. But you shall, here it is, hold fast to the Lord your God, as you have done to this day. For the Lord has driven out from before you great and strong nations. But as for you, no one's been able to stand against you to this day. One man of you shall chase 1,000, for the Lord your God is He who fights for you as He promised you. Therefore, take careful heed to yourselves that you love the Lord your God. Or else, if indeed you do go back and cling to the remnant of these nations, these that remain among you, and make marriages with them and go into them, and they to you, know for certain that the Lord your God will no longer drive out these nations from before you, but they shall be snares and traps to you, and scourges on your sides and thorns in your eyes, until you perish from this good land which the Lord your God has given you. And then jump to verse 13 of chapter 24. I have given you a land for which you did not labor, cities which you did not build. You dwell in them, you eat of the vineyards and olive groves which you did not plant. Now therefore, fear the Lord. Serve Him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. And if it seems able to you to serve God, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. What does God expect out of us? Well, first of all, He says that we would hold fast to Him. Now, the only reason you can keep me saved is because Jesus is holding on to me. Okay? I mean, He's praying for me. Right now, He's praying for me. He's interceding on my behalf. The only way you can get me lost is to interrupt the prayers of Jesus. And my friend, you cannot interrupt the prayers of Jesus. And so, He's holding fast to me, and I'm holding fast to Him. What a team. Amen? And then, He calls on us to love God. And that word cling there in verse 12 is the same word that's used over in Genesis 2:24 that a husband and a wife is to have for one another. Whoo! And then Joshua reveals to us that the way that we love God and cling to God is through obedience and service. 7 times in chapter 24, verses 14 and 15 that I've read twice, 7 times the word serve is mentioned. It's about as plain as the nose on my face. The way that we express to God how much we love Him and how much we think of Him is by the way that we serve Him. Obedience and service. Is that not the message in the book of Joshua? Obey, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to... That's it, isn't it? And so, God expects me to serve Him. Now, Joshua knew how fickle the Israelites were. And so he's trying to almost, you know, don't you surrender and commit to this if you can't hold up to your word. And three times they all said, we will. And so Joshua said, okay. And this is in the chapter. He grabbed a huge rock and set it under the oak tree, which is right by the tabernacle, as a witness of their commitment and their surrender that day to the Lord. Now, I'll tell you what, we need to make some commitments here, Second Mile. We need to make a full, fresh surrender today if we're going to be able to tell God, you can count on me. Well, how do we serve God? Can I just go ahead and tell you? You see, there's none of this Lone Ranger mentality out here. Not in the Bible. Whatever God's doing, He's doing through His church today. You say, well, what about FCA? What about Young Life? What about all these other parachurch groups? Let me tell you, if it wasn't for the church, those things would never come about. God, what God's doing today is through the local. Jesus died for the bride of Christ. Jesus rose from the dead for the church. Jesus is praying for the church this morning. And one day, Jesus is coming for the church. And so anything that's being done for the Lord is being done by His Spirit, which lives within us, and through the local church. Right? Now, whether you're a member at Second Mile Church or not, I'm just saying. Okay? Now, September the 22nd, we've got a First Mile class. For any of you that aren't members here, you can come to that Second Mile class, First Mile class, and get on the Second Mile road with us, okay? But here's what I've got to show y'all. Now, this and 50 cents won't even get you a cup of coffee, but this was a plaque that I received, that our church received, down at the Wilma Rudolph Event Center last Friday. We are a partner in education with Moore Magnet School. And our church was recognized for the ministry that we're doing with Moore Magnet School. We have 8 or maybe 9 of us that are math buddies and reading buddies at Moore School. And a lot of those kids that we've been ministering to over at Summit Heights, guess where they go to school? More. I just wonder, is there anybody here that'd like to get in on the Moore Magnet team? Jared mentioned the 9/11 service. Some of y'all have signed up for that. We've got 30-something children back here in the children's ministry. We need help. Middle schoolers, high schoolers. Bless God, I love our parking lot guys. They're out there in the heat and the cold. Mike Boysall kind of heads that team up. Some of you could serve out here in the parking lot ministry. And isn't it a blessing to see that good-looking Paul Swaffer standing in the door? We need some greeters. And by the way, Janice makes you look a whole lot better, brother. Anyways. We need greeters. We need feeders. Hospitality team could use some help. There's all kinds of places that you could serve. We have a military ministry. We've got a military ministry meeting at breakfast on Tuesday morning here. For anybody interested in the military ministry, and Sheila and Ron Cunningham are kind of heading that ministry up. If you're interested in that, Barbara best kept secret in the church. She has a ministry with mothers of preschoolers, MOPS, out at Fort Campbell. If you'd be interested in helping her, help her. BJ has a Bible study that she promotes with people that are in and around our church. There's all kinds of ministry that needs to take place. And you know what God expects? And let me just say a word about MoCo Day. What a day that was. And we had some guys like Bill Peacher and Bill Whitlock and some others that couldn't be there on MoCo Day, so they had their own MoCo Day three different times. That's what it's all about, is serving the Lord, being the hands and feet of Jesus out here in our community. Maybe you want to be in part of the missions effort of this church. Well, I'm going to give y'all an opportunity to sign up for some ministry. Some of our ministry team leaders are going to be down here in the floor, and they'll be able to answer any questions, and there's several sheets of... I've got all the ministry teams that are labeled on paper down here. We just want your contact information so we can contact you about getting plugged in a ministry. By the way, we need more singers and musicians. There's all kinds of things that every... Guess who the prayer leader is in the church? I'd be glad to have you if you have a heart for prayer. Whatever it is. But right after the service, we're going to have some ministry leaders down on the floor here, and they'll answer any of your questions, and you can give us your contact information, and you can get a place to serve in and through the local church. Y'all are excited about that, I can tell. Have mercy. Can God count on you? Hello? I just told you, anything that God's doing, He's doing through the local church. Can God count on you? Well, He can if you've got an understanding who He is. And you've got an understanding about how good He's been to you. If you've got an understanding about what He expects out of you. To obey Him and to serve Him. You may not remember this cat, but he was a missionary to Africa. His name was David Livingstone. And this was over 100 some odd years ago. But David was ministering to the people in Africa, in the jungles. And he got a letter from the States, from a guy. He said, I've got a group of men who want to come and help you. And he said, could you tell me the best road that we can take to get to you? And David wrote back to him, said, sir, I'm looking for people not who will come if we've got a good road to get here. I'm looking for people who will come even if there is no road at all. And that's the kind of commitment Joshua was calling for. And that's the kind of commitment God's calling on His people for. Can God count on you? Would you pray with me? Just bow your head. Close your eyes. Maybe the first thing that you need to do today is surrender to Christ. You've never been born again. You've never truly been saved. God hadn't changed your life. Well, I'm here today to tell you the Holy Spirit of God is right here. And if you'd surrender to Him today in a simple prayer right there in your seat, God will save you right where you sit. You'll say, Lord, You've done so much for me, and I want to give the rest of my life to You. And I'm trusting in the finished work of Jesus. Thank You that all my sins are forgiven, and I receive that forgiveness by faith, and I repent of my sin and trust Christ and Christ alone. If you'll do that today, you can wind up leaving this building today born again in the family of God. And I think the rest of us are here today and we're asking God, what is it You want me to do? Well, you've already heard how you can serve in some type of capacity in and through the church. We would love to talk to any and all of you today. I thank You for Your commitment level. I thank You for who You are in Christ Jesus. And I want you to know, whether you ever pick up a finger or not to serve God, I'm going to love you no matter what. But this is Second Mile Church, and we're asking people to get on board and go the second mile with us. Father, bless those that have prayed to receive Christ today. Help them to take their stand for Jesus. And God, burden the rest of us, burden our hearts to love you and to serve you and you alone. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.